Heidi Press Lisa Heidi.
This is a podcast of Climate Crisis in the Pipeline.
Climate Crisis in the Pipeline.
Climate Crisis in the Pipeline.
A joint project by Zudnodfang and Witness Radio Uganda.
Produced every month.
Starting from March 2024 to August 2024.
Starts with a soothing sound. Oh, but singing praise to your beauty, you're a marvel. Listen to the smooth flow, like Victoria, it's amazing. Your beauty's everlasting, always pleasing to our sight. You're a marvel. Our pride is in you, Uganda. You were blessed with the forest here. And mountains that are fierce for the rise. You're a marvel, that's what you are. You are filled with fire that resides in the campus.
Our motherland, Uganda.
Flows, giving a new sound, a new song. The Pearl of Africa, embracing the flawless curves of the country. That's every tourist's choice. Yeah.
Listening to our first podcast of the Climate Crisis in the Pipeline.
In the Hoima region of Uganda, oil deposits were discovered in 2006. These deposits are at the center of controversy. On one hand, the Ugandan government hopes for an economic boost, while on the other hand, there are forced relocations, inadequate compensations, and environmental concerns. Insights into their respective perspectives on the planned construction on the East African crude oil pipeline, ECOP, are provided by local residents, an environmental activist, and the Minister for Energy and Minerals in Uganda. The Zuid-Noordfunk and Witness Radio Uganda summarized the controversies and provide background information on the planned construction of the pipeline.
Uganda, located in East Africa, was bestowed with the title the Pearl of Africa by Winston Churchill in 1908, a designation intended to capture and convey the extraordinary beauty, diversity, and natural wealth of this remarkable country. Deep within Uganda lies Hoima District, located approximately 220 kilometers from the capital, Kampala, where the first oil deposits were discovered around 2006. This district is inhabited by diverse communities including the native Banyoro, Bagungu, Baganda, Banyankore, Bachiga, and Lugbar, among others, and occupied by a variety of physical features and biodiversity, revealing a serene beauty. Positioned in the Midwestern region of Uganda, Hoima District shares borders with Masindi and Bulisa districts in the north, Tankwanzi District in the east, and Chibale District in the south. It also extends to the western national boundary with the Democratic Republic of Congo, DRC. Since the discovery of oil, the Ugandan government has been actively promoting its exploration, anticipating that it will significantly contribute to the economic development of the country. The production of oil fields involves developing major oil fields under the Tilenga in Hoima, Nwoya and Wulisa districts and Kingfisher projects in the Chikube district, the oil refinery in the Buseruka sub-county in Hoima district, and the 1,443-kilometer pipeline transporting oil from Kabale in Hoima and the port Tanga in Tanzania, named the East Africa Crude Oil Pipeline Project, EACOP. In Uganda, the pipeline, 296 kilometers long, will traverse 10 districts and 25 sub-counties, while in Tanzania, the pipeline covering 1,147 kilometers will traverse 8 regions and 25 districts. According to the Total Energies website, the completion of the Tilenga and EACOP projects will require the implementation of a land acquisition program covering some 6,400 hectares. For Tilenga and EACOP, this program means relocating 775 primary residences and will affect a total of 18,800 stakeholders, landowners, and land users. Additionally, the Petroleum Authority of Uganda states that the construction of the Kingfisher project requires approximately 1,020 acres of land with a total of 727 project affected persons, PAPs. Last year, a 47-page report titled "Our Trust is Broken: Loss of Land and Livelihoods for Oil Development in Uganda" by Human Rights Watch researchers revealed thousands of people's livelihoods in Uganda had been devastated by Total Energies' planned oil pipeline in East Africa, EACOP, adding voice to the critical issues raised by civil societies in Uganda and outside, concerned climate activists and project critics about the oil projects. Human Rights Watch added that, despite 90% of the affected individuals having received compensation from Total Energies EP Uganda, they had experienced multi-year delays in compensation disbursement, and it was inadequate. Felix Horn, a senior environment researcher at Human Rights Watch, described the oil projects as a disaster for the tens of thousands who lost land that provided food for their families and income to send their children to school, and at the same time received too little compensation for their land. But despite all that's been said about the compensation, government maintains its stand that people have been compensated well. In fact, it says that the compensation for the trio projects, Tilenga, Kingfisher and EACOP, is yet to be completed. The Honorable Ruth Nankabirwa, Minister of Energy and Mineral Development in Uganda, says the government has compensated almost 98% of the Tilenga project, and the PAPs involved were fully compensated. While the government of Uganda has been continuously pushing the oil projects, they've also found stiff resistance among the would-be project beneficiaries, who are mostly the local people, and environmentalists globally who claim the projects are likely to have adverse effects on them and the climate. Under the EACOP, the government has compensated 95% and compensation is going on for the rest, and that under the Kingfisher project, every project affected person was fully compensated.
For the Tilenga project, we have achieved 98% land acquisition. All project affected involved have been fully compensated, except 2% who have chosen to refuse the compensation packages and are continuing to engage the 2% so that they respond to the offer that government is giving. On Kingfisher development area, on the land acquisition in this development area, we have successfully acquired 100% of the required land. On the midstream projects, this is where we have the East African crude oil pipeline. At least 95% of the affected persons have signed compensation agreements, with 91% of this compensation completed, and the remaining payments are ongoing.
Nankabirwa added that those that are remaining on each project either have land conflicts or are being influenced by civil societies to critique the oil projects, adding their money would be deposited in court once they fail to decide, and that government will forcefully acquire their land.
There are 116 cases under consideration for compulsory land acquisition due to reasons such as untraceable individuals. You have searched, you have gone to papers, and the absentee landlord is still absent. There are other individuals who have disputes among themselves and refusal of compensation offers. We know that the detractors have not slept. Those that have been decampaigned this infrastructure have gone ahead to confuse some of these people, and we are aware. So I'm using this opportunity to tell them that the Constitution gives mandate to government to compulsorily acquire that land. And therefore, we have involved the Attorney General, and very soon we shall compulsorily acquire this land. We will deposit money in the courts.
Contrary to what the government ministry says, some people claim they have been displaced and not compensated. Others are compensated but poorly. Others were resettled but are not contented with what they were given in terms of resettlement, while others that refuse compensation being less and demand a rise in income valuable to their land and property are not compensated, or the government, based on what it wants, runs to courts of law to allow it to deposit people's money meant for compensation on court's account. Hundreds are falling victim to this tactic. One unforgettable event happened when the High Court in Hoima District granted permission to the government, acting on behalf of Total Energies, to deposit money into the court's accounts. This decision took place on 4th December 2023. The Attorney General's Chambers, representing the Ministry of Energy and Mineral Development in Uganda, hurriedly approached the court requesting authorization to deposit compensation and proceed with the eviction of 42 households from Kasenyi, Chizongo, Chirama and Bujigo villages in Bulisa district. The expedited court ruling pertained to a case where the government sought permission from the court to deposit funds into its account for those who had opposed compensation for the Tilenga project. Remarkably, the ruling was issued merely 4 days after the case was filed and allowed only a single court hearing. Twijucha Wilberforce, a 44-year-old father of two living in Chihigwa Village, Chidoma Parish, Chiziranfumbi Sub-County, located in Jikube District, is among those affected by the East African Crude Oil Pipeline EACOP project. In 2018, during the commencement of land surveys for the EACOP project, Twijucha's land was identified as part of the project area. The project requisitioned half an acre of his 2-acre plot of land. However, Twijucha has staunchly refused to release his land for the project due to what he perceives as undervaluation and unfulfilled promises associated with it. He asserts the project lacked proper sensitization about its adverse impacts. Instead, residents were only presented with optimistic portrayals promising substantial compensation, wealth accumulation, and employment opportunities that have not materialized to date.
I refused the compensation for my land because it was inadequate. They persuaded us to hand over our land for the project, promising substantial compensation and employment opportunities. The reality has been different. The compensation was poor, and when we voiced our concerns, they threatened to take our land and deposit the compensation in court. There was also lack of transparency regarding the adverse effects of the oil project.
Ms. Tugume Rachel, a single mother and caretaker of four, was paid as low as 500,000 Uganda shillings, equivalent to 128.7 United States dollars, for both her portion of land and property, since her land had been designated for use by EACOP. She revealed that she and others in her community were threatened into accepting the inadequate compensation. They were informed that if they refused the offer, the government would seize their land without any payment.
We were coerced into accepting the compensation offered. Whenever we voiced objections, we were met with intimidation, with officials warning that our land would be seized by the government without any compensation. that we cannot manage to battle with it. Myself, I'm serving as an example. My land with crops were valued for 500,000 shillings, which could not even be enough buying a land elsewhere.
Another community member who preferred to be called by one name, Wellen, due to fear of retaliation, revealed the project has now reduced them to paupers since most of them lost their livelihoods.
The oil project displaced me from my land. Now I and my family continue to live miserably because we are better before it came. We are just suffering now. My land was taken and I am now even renting where to farm food for their survival.
The Eco Approach will traverse numerous diverse ecosystems and human settlements, with one third of the pipeline running alongside the world's second largest freshwater lake and the largest lake in Africa, Lake Victoria, a critical water source for more than 40 million people. The pipeline will pass through 7 forest reserves, 2 game reserves, 2 game controlled areas, and 1 open area that supports wildlife management, covering a total of 295 kilometers of conserved and protected lands. Nearly 2,000 square kilometers of protected wildlife habitats will be negatively affected by EACOP. In one of the reports by environmental organizations between March and June 2023, the African Institute for Energy Development, AFIEGO, a Ugandan non-profit company which undertakes public policy research and advocacy to influence energy policies to benefit the poor and vulnerable, commissioned an independent wetlands expert to study the wetlands that are set to be impacted by the East African crude oil pipeline EACOP in Uganda. Geographical Information System GIS analysis showed the EACOP will cross more than 158 wetland sections in Uganda. According to AFIEGO, the EACOP Environmental and Social Impact Assessment (ESIA) report had only highlighted 4 wetland systems of Kafu, Nabakazi, Katonga, and Chibale impacted by the project. Diana Nabiruma, a Ugandan communications expert and environmental defender working with AFIEGO, reveals oil projects in the Albert Engraben are set to affect the biodiversity, a number of Ramsar sites, and millions of East Africans who depend on Lake Victoria for water and fishing activity.
The Albertine Graben is one of the reasons why Uganda is very beautiful, but it is also one of the most eco-sensitive, biodiverse, and pristine regions in the world. The Albertine Graben has 7 out of 10 of Uganda's national park. It also has 8 out of 15 of our most important forests. It also hosts over 50% of Africa's bird species. The Graben also hosts over 30% of Africa's mammal species. And we also have plants, reptiles, and other forms of biodiversity in the Albertine Graben. So Murchison Falls National Park is one of Uganda's oldest, largest, and most visited national park. Unfortunately, under the Tilenga Oil Project, which is operated by Total, the Tilenga Oil Project has 400 oil wells, and 130 of those are found in Murchison Falls National Park. We know, and especially in Africa, oil exploitation or extraction is incompatible with biodiversity conservation. Noise pollution, air pollution, oil spills, and others negatively affect animals. So drilling for oil in a national park that's one of the largest and therefore has a lot of biodiversity presents immense risks. There are fears that the drilling of oil in the national park could lead to the death of certain animals, the migration of others, and the extinction of some perhaps. Nearly a third of the EACOP is in the Lake Victoria Basin. This lake has various wetlands that UNESCO designated them as Ramsar sites. This is because these are wetlands either support breeding or are habitats or host migratory birds. So these sites that are important for the survival of birds, snakes and others are at risk of being destroyed because of the COP. Up to 40 million people rely on Lake Victoria to meet their water needs in East Africa. These people's access to water and fisheries, Lake Victoria is the second biggest source of fish in Uganda, is at risk because of the COP.
Regarding the environmental destruction caused by the oil project, the government reportedly claims that measures are being taken to mitigate their impact.
Uganda's oil and gas projects are developing alongside a global campaign for cleaner energy sources. Technological advancements are being leveraged to minimize the carbon footprint of these projects, classifying them as low emissions. Domestically, oil industry byproducts such as LPG shall be critical in rescuing the country's forest cover by getting millions of Ugandans off wood, charcoal for cooking, thereby contributing to a more sustainable environment. This is the cry from Africa. Africa's forest cover works as a carbon sink to capture emissions from wherever they are coming from. So we need to be given time to transit while we are doing reforestation. In this regard, UNOC and our partners in the sector are undertaking a number of initiatives as commitment to sustainability and environment protection while addressing economic and energy needs. UNOC launched an ambitious tree planting campaign where a total of 40 million trees are to be planted countrywide in a period of between 5 and 7 years. This initiative will involve 36,950 hectares comprising natural forest restoration and private plantations, among others. UNOC's partner, TotalEnergies, also unveiled a comprehensive biodiversity plan to ensure protection of flora and fauna in sensitive ecosystems, which is being implemented.
Since the discovery of oil in Hoima District, Uganda's President Museveni has consistently emphasized that the oil reserves will greatly enhance the country's economy. Consequently, his government has demonstrated full dedication to advancing the exploration and extraction of these resources. President Museveni has been outspoken about his commitment to the project, even taking to his X account at Kaguta Museveni to assert that he would act against any individuals or groups advocating for the project to be halted. The ongoing criminalization of project critics serves as evidence of government's determination to see the oil project through to completion. Witness Radio's research desk has monitored, investigated, and documented over 75 cases of environmental activists and Uganda community lands rights defenders criminalized by Ugandan authorities for protesting against the development of oil projects in Uganda, with most of them arrested more than 3 times. According to Witness Radio, those who speak out against the oil project are frequently subjected to harsh arrests and labeled as enemies of the state, falsely charged to undermine their credibility and deter them from raising concerns about the potential negative impacts of the project on the community and environment. Despite the persistent efforts of land and environmental defenders, as well as concerns raised by civil society both within Uganda and internationally, regarding human rights violations and potential environmental hazards associated with the oil project, the projects have gathered substantial financial support from various development financiers. The backing from these funding sources highlight a complex dynamic where economic interests often take precedence over the apprehensions expressed by the advocacy groups and communities. According to the Stop EACOP campaign website, the construction of the EACOP pipeline is an expensive venture, and Total and CNOOC are sourcing funding from the world's largest commercial banks to get this project off the ground. According to reports, so far over $2 billion have been raised by shareholders of the EACOP project. The EACOP will be designed, constructed, financed, and operated through a dedicated pipeline company with the same name, EACOP. The shareholders in Aircorp are affiliates of the three upstream joint venture partners, that is the Uganda National Oil Company, Total Energies ENP Uganda, and CNOOC Uganda, together with the Tanzania Petroleum Development Corporation. Shareholdings are Total Energies 62%, UNOC and TPDC 15% each, and CNOOC 8%. According to the Aircorp website, Aircorp is being constructed in parallel with two upstream development projects that are not part of Aircorp Development and Investment, known as Tilenga and Kingfisher, respectively. Each development will consist of a central processing facility, CPF, to separate and treat the oil, water and gas produced by the wells. Kingfisher will have four well pads and a CPF with a peak daily capacity of 42,000 barrels per day. Tilenga and Kingfisher CPFs will be connected by feeder lines to the starting point of Aircorp in Kabale. According to the Petroleum Authority of Uganda, the Tilenga project is operated by Total Energies Exploration and Production, TEPU, on behalf of the joint venture partners, JVPs, comprising TEPU, with a majority participating interest of 56.6%, the China National Offshore Oil Company, CUL, with 28.3%, and the Uganda National Oil Company, UNOC, with 15%. The project includes putting in place facilities to support the production of petroleum from six oil fields located in Bulisa and Nwoya districts. The Tilenga project consists of nine onshore oil fields, with one field in the Murchison Falls National Park, north of the River Nile, and eight fields. The Tilenga project consists of nine onshore oil fields, with one field in the Murchison Falls National Park, north of the River Nile, and eight fields in the south of the Nile, outside the park. The development of the Tilenga project is planned to be undertaken through onshore drilling of 426 wells from 31 well pads with three drilling rigs. The other project, the Kingfisher Development Area, KFDA, located in the southeast of Lake Albert, is also one of Uganda's key oil and gas projects. UNOC, as the government nominee, holds a 15% participating interest in the project. Other partners are CNOOC Uganda Limited as an operator and Total Energies ENP Uganda holding 28.3% and 56.6%, respectively. KFDA covers the Kingfisher field located in Tsukube, with plans for future tie-in of Mputa and Zizi Waraga fields in Kaiso, Tonya, Hoima district. The project will produce 40,000 barrels of crude oil per day during peak production. Worth noting, the final negotiations for the financing and construction of Uganda's $4 billion domestic refinery began in January 2024 after Alpha MBM Investments from the United Arab Emirates was chosen by the government of Uganda as the preferred bidder, according to the Petroleum Authority of Uganda, PAU, website.
Thank you for listening to our first podcast of the Climate Crisis in the Pipeline.